regular scheduled meeting, no less, of the San Juan County Public Hospital District Number 1. Today's Wednesday, May 22nd, 2019, and it is right on the dot, 3 p.m. First matter is agenda approval, and that relates to today's agenda. Can I hear a motion to approve the agenda as written?
So moved.
Second?
Seconded.
All in favor, say aye.
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 Aye. Unanimous. And then we have to follow that, the consent agenda. Can the board hear a motion to approve?
So moved.
Second?
Seconded.
All in favor, say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Unanimous. And next on deck is San Juan County PhD Number 1 Operations Report. Pam Hutchins.
Okay. First of all, I'd like to call attention to the operations report in that the first sheet, that's usually about 2 pages, what I give my report from is always at the back on the table for the audience. They can pick up. And we're going to start putting this out on the website ahead of the meeting so you can take a look at it beforehand. And therefore, and the commissioners, I hope that when I send these out that you're being able to review them okay. You know, Carl and I have been trying to get them out on Friday night, Saturday morning. So I hope that that's been helpful for you guys.
It is.
Okay. And since you review that, and of course you have opportunities after reading our reports to ask questions of us at any time. So I'm going to abbreviate one instead of just reading the whole report because everybody's read it, and just hit the high points and then give you opportunity to ask questions. And then just mainly touch on the operation side of it and see what's going on there. So for the month of April, we had the property tax revenue in April. That's the biggest month of the year that we get property tax, and it was $488,765.22, and that came in at a 1% increase. So that was a large amount. We had a few reimbursements from Fire 3 for their half the CAC expenses, and we had some reimbursements from other vendors that totaled a little over $6,000. So at the end of April, our cash balance is $744,831.70, which gives us plenty of money to pay out our second installment of PINC when it comes due. Usually they come in July or August, so we have that money to carry forward. As far as the public records expense, in April we had $4,046, and for the whole year, we've had $10,320 of public record expense, and that makes up 84% of our total legal expense for the year. So this, we kind of have for our public records, we go along like this, and then we do this, and then we'll go along, and then we do this. So right now, we're in that big peak of what we've had for public records expense. So we hope that it will go back down to the flatter line pretty soon. We finished our Washington State Auditor's expense, so you don't have any more of that coming. And for our budget, if you looked at the revenues and expenses, pretty much on all the line items, we're doing about what we should be for that. Did y'all have any question on the financials?
Nope.
Okay. Operationally, we, of course, the steering committee has gotten started, so everyone knows, I think, about that. It's made up of the 5 members, Chief Collins, Chief Kitzing, Duncan Wilson, Rebecca Smith, and Frank Cardinelli. Those are the 2 commissioners. So they are starting to have their meetings. I think they've only had two, and they're trying to get their schedules synced so that they can have regular meetings. And whenever they do, we will report back on what's going on with that. The audio visuals, we have one more report today. We got the requested another bid for the cheaper using wired microphones, so we'll report on that a little later. For me, the exciting part was we finished filing week. We actually had four people come forward that want to be hospital district commissioners. They filed on the first day, so that was optimistic for me when they do it on the first day. And we had Gail Lachine Seitz, is that how she pronounced it? She filed for position one, the 6-year term. Everett Clary filed for a 2-year term, position three. And Trish Lehman, also for the 2-year term, position five. And in position four for the 4-year term is Kyle Loring, and he is a attorney that has done a lot of work for the Friends of San Juan. So he's been on the island for a while. So,
and he's here.
He's hiding.
Is he here?
He's
oh, there he is. Hello.
I'm trying to hide.
Nice. Glad you could come today.
He brought his battle helmet too.
So the exciting part also is that no one else filed in opposition, so they have 7 months until January 1st to kind of look at our website, have questions, just kind of get used to the idea of being a commissioner in 2020. So we're excited that we have that part behind us, and we don't have to talk about that anymore, and we know the people that we will be going forward with. So that is my report.
So just so you don't get too happy, remember when Senator Murkowski had a write-in campaign in Alaska?
Oh, well,
okay, so.
I'm not going to go there.
So long-term care.
The long-term care is proceeding with the feasibility report. Jody Corona, we think that will be finished in September. Also, at the one of the last meetings, we had Evan Perlitz come and speak about the work of the long-term feasibility study, and went to each of the islands, Lopez and Orcas, and presented what he presented for us, and asked them for a donation towards the long-term care. At this time, they are really heavy into their clinic work and their contracts with UW, so they do not want to contribute anything financially. They support the idea. There's nothing on that front, but they just are all hands on deck trying to figure out their clinic stuff. So we had said we would contribute $10,000
contingent
upon them contributing something. So they have declined, so we need to revisit, and I think that's on the agenda.
Is it?
Later.
Is it
the very last item under unfinished business, so we can talk about that, or we can do it now.
Well, there it is. It was hiding. No, let's just, follow the agenda, which is
okay.
What we're supposed to do in the first place. So.
All righty.
Very good. Well, thanks for the explanation.
Because we have to make two motions to not follow the agenda, which we just said.
Exactly.
All right. Good enough for me.
And we all want to get out of here on this bright day.
I think this will be an excellent meeting to be out of here early today. Weather's great.
Oh, yeah, kidding. Thank you, Pam. Any questions for Pam? Okay. So, Salmon Island EMS. Operations Report, Chief Kutzing.
Thank you, Commissioners. Just to kind of hit some of the highlights, I'm going to try to do the same thing as Pam did. You had my report, and it's, again, available on the website, and I'll try to realize when I stop and I'm parched, I've talked too long. So let me know. Kind of our highlights, we've had 89 calls for the month of April, which brings our total to 340 calls. That's 19 more than last year, which is about a 6% increase for us. Average number of EMTs responding to a call is 1.96. 12 calls were for airlift. 12 calls for island air transports, 9 for airlift, the Navy, and the Coast Guard, neither one were activated during the month of April. And of course, our response times always consistently within the rural benchmarks. And I want to get a little more, I'm working on the statistics to get you something a little more detailed. In-town responses, what we'd call a more of a suburban area versus the rural areas. And those analytics are available. I'm just still getting my feet underneath me and trying to get those down so I can get you something more specific.
So I would request, instead of calling it in-town and out-of-town, I don't like that dichotomy. Mm-hmm. I would just put it at a radius of the station, 5 miles and more than 5 miles, or 6 miles and more than 6 miles.
I'll see if I can
work. We're going to be going through a process, hopefully the next year, of asking the town to join fire, da-da-da-da-da-da. I don't want to have it as in town and out of town.
Right.
It just doesn't sound well for team building.
That's a good point.
Yeah, and I will I'll talk with our software representatives and see, because right now we have our zones broken out that way, but I'll see if I can get more of a radius from the station.
Thank you.
And I'll let you know about that.
And if you want some help on the radiuses, I can probably do that with you.
Great, thank you. Our finances are looking really good. We're 33% into the year, and the county's provided us our financial documents, and I'm going to turn it over to Chris and let him report on that. Just to note, the report that I sent out earlier, Chris has reworked some of those numbers, backed out some of the pieces, so the percentages of budget that I reported are quite right. But I'll let Chris explain that.
Yeah, so the numbers Carl used didn't include. When I say what the budget is percent, I'm looking at what we, on the county reports, the Eden reports where you have got revenue and expenditures, the budget would include the beginning and ending cash as part of that number of budgeted revenue and expenditures, so we back those numbers out when coming up with the percentages. So so we're actually doing a lot better than what was documented in here. We're at revenue, a big month, of course, because of all the property taxes. So we're now sitting at 48.6% of budget, as opposed to the 37.5 in this report. And expenses side, we're at 35% through the year, as opposed to the 28% of budget. Expenditures was pretty normal month, nothing, no big things. But another thing that to point out is how much EMT money we have had flow in so far this year. We had budgeted for $40,000. And we're at $95,800. And there's going to be a much bigger check showing up here very soon. We were notified, I'll let Carl go into that one because I'll let him get to do the fireworks. But all I'll say is we're sitting on a really good amount of cash now. We're at 6.6 months of expenses. $1.3 million of cash. Of course, this is kind of our peak, and then we're going to burn through some until the next property tax receipts come in October. So
so you budgeted for the GMT money to be $40,000, and we've received $90,000. So how do we anticipate what's happening next year with this money?
Well, that's part of what we're going to be working on when we redo this budget. When we did we still hadn't received any GEMT money, I don't believe, when we did the 2019 budget last year. and then it all started flowing in, and it started coming in at higher numbers than we expected. We were just trying to be conservative. And so we had left it at that 40,000 expectation. So now that we have a few months of this coming in, and we also know what this year is going to be pretty large because, as Carl's going to point out, we're going to get a pretty good chunk in that represents 2017, basically a big catch up for 2017. And so because there's been a lot of catch up going on, we're getting the 2017 in, we're getting 2018 that came in part of 2018 and then part of 2019, is we really need to parse out what we are getting that's representative of this year, and then figure out what it is we can expect for 2020.
Can we start breaking that down in our balance sheet somehow to see like what was the 17 and 18? We're having 3 years roll in all at the same time, so it makes it really difficult to predict what's happening for 2020.
Oh yeah, we're in the same boat. Yeah, so it's we can certainly break some of that out, and we can get it from the I know our billing company, Systems Design, has been really on this, and they've been working with other agencies as well that are getting pretty big influxes.
Cool.
Right. Basically, as the money's been coming in, it's been coded. Mm-hmm. It all goes into our operating fund, mm-hmm. but it has been coded so we know, you know, where those deposits are, mm-hmm. and trying to break those out, you know, what came in 2017, it's all coming in this, you know, fiscal year, but try
I'm
to figure out what's
going on.
But I'm
just seeing it come in a
chunk,
so yeah. It would be yes. helpful to know,
what
okay, so what was 2019 2018? And what can yeah. we anticipate next year?
And I can speak to some of that when we get to the part when we get to the GEMT report
okay.
for
yeah.
unfinished business.
Yeah, exactly. It's been a good month, and of the, you know, these, I think you'll see that there's going to be, we're going to have a pretty large amount of cash, and part of what is with all this GEMT money coming in, it's timely because there's a lot of deferred capital expenses that we have that need to be made, and we're going to, as part of our budgeting process, when we both, obviously, the result of some of this revenue that's come in between the GEMT and also these ACH monies, we're going to be having to, we'll be amending our 2019 budget. And then as we're doing that, kind of forecasting out for 2020 and also forecasting out what our capital expenditure plan needs to be.
Got some work.
So, yeah, there is. Any other questions? Okay.
Thank you, Chris.
So, yeah, you want to go into the...
Yeah, and I think if we continue to follow the agenda, we have a spot.
Oh, yes.
Set an unfinished business to talk about the GEMT. So mm-hmm. we'll deal with that. Going back to the operations report, as far as the community, there were 5 CPR and first aid classes. Another 57 people served in the community, which brings our total up to 247. Is always exciting. Right now, we're working on building metrics to get those the analysis for response times. Working with the lead dispatcher in the sheriff's office for the computer-assisted dispatching. The terminals that Chief Martin had thought that the sheriff's department had are now coming online. So we're making sure that all the upgrades are done for the hardware. The hardware is in place, and we should be able to start using that. It's the real benefit for this computer-assisted dispatching is a map that shows up on the screen, so the person who's riding in the officer's seat next to the driver can help with directions. We can get better statistics in terms of in route times and arrival times, because instead of reporting that on the radio, the dispatcher typing that in and then timestamping it, we can timestamp it ourselves as we get there. And then the dispatcher can fill in, and we can continue to use the radio operations to let those EMTs responding from their personal vehicles or from their own homes instead of from the station to know where, what resources are en route. So that's very exciting. In terms of fatigue assessment, there's nothing to report. None of our EMTs have used naloxone in the field. So that continues on. The 24-hour shifting is going well. And I do want to make a shout out to Lieutenant Katie English and Lieutenant Umberto Orozco, Ian Randall and Jesse James, who are our four staff EMTs. They have been doing a stellar job of being here, filling in the gaps, getting the rigs out the door, and then making sure that the building's in good shape, things are getting ordered, vehicles are being serviced, everything's working out pretty well. We're still working on some of the operational parts of it, but for the most part, it's been going very, very well. Also wanted to let you know about protocols, ALS protocols, and Commissioner Smith had asked about this in the previous meeting. The medications and the updates to the medications are where the holdup is right now. Mick Price, who is a per diem paramedic for us, worked on, with other paramedics to come up with that formulary. Dr. Sullivan has them right now. And when I asked him about an ETA in terms of his review and getting them to the state, he kind of said, well, he's been busy with other things, and pointing out the Kaiser problem that's been going on. So no ETA for those ALS protocols as of yet. Hopefully we'll have something soon. To let you know, the EMT class is complete. We had 10 people participate in that, 9 from San Juan Island, 1 from Orcas. Everybody passed. The final hurdle for them is to sit for the National Registry examination. That allows them to become licensed by the state, but nobody has any trepidation about that. Except for the students. They all have their own trepidation, but as far as the instructors, this is a good group. Really looking forward to it. Should bring our volunteer roster up to 82, which is a much more comfortable number, having those 9 extra people here, and they're all really, really excited to be responding. Diane Carlshagen is our new administrative assistant, if you haven't met her before, and she's doing an excellent bang-up job. You always kind of know that when you say, well, we do this and this, and she said, well, you can just use this button over here, that we've made a good decision. So that helps a whole lot. Our staff training is continuing on. Dr. Haysloop is working with us. We had 2 of our ongoing trainings. She was able to do the ALS training with the paramedics on the 23rd. Community paramedicine is moving forward as well. We keep meeting with our regional partners. Lainey and I were able to attend another meeting in Everett. In fact, Lainey is with Kyle Davies right now, attending a meeting required by the ACH for all the partners involved in that program, and they're getting us up to speed, updated with all that right now. Lainey has, we purchased the Gelada software, which is a reporting software. We put together the piece that allows our regular medical reporting software to interface with that community paramedicine software. So if we run into a patient, we've seen this patient 2 or 3 times in the past month, trip hazard, let's say, continual, you know, falls. We can make a referral right from the medical report writing software to this community paramedicine software, which then alerts Lainey. She can get the proper resources, whether it's the Rotary or the Kiwanis or whomever has people who can build ramps or, you know, take care of carpets, or if they have food issues, we can alert the county health department in terms of Meals on Wheels. So that's all that's supposed to happen with that reporting software. Can push those referrals out, and the training for that is happening on Friday. So keep bringing all the partners in to get everybody up to speed on that training software. So it's exciting. Things are finally, a lot of the planning is all kind of falling into place. Mm-hmm. So it feels really good. The other thing that I wanted to let you know is what Pam alluded to, our fire EMS integration committee has met twice. The next big planning session is Chief Collins and I are going to sit down and take a look at a project management tool. It's called a Gantt program that kind of lays out tasks and timelines, and we want to fill that out, bring that back to the entire group, and then schedule a meeting with legal counsel to kind of show what we've got planned for and to get any insight from Rich Davis, who is also legal counsel for the hospital board, and see if we're missing anything, other little insights that he can give for us. And the plan is to probably take the group and go to him. Gives us an idea, a kind of a full day working session, and then limits his expenses because we're coming to him, and then we've got working while we travel back on the ferry, which is kind of what the plan was. Details haven't been worked out yet. Also plan on giving a couple of reports in our unfinished business section about the Codan radio project and about the GEMT specifically. So I'll save those for later on, and I'll just open, does anybody have any questions?
No. Very good.
Fantastic.
Thank you so much, Chief.
Absolutely.
Next item on the agenda is audience participation. I want to reiterate that the total time, we tend to run over and time's fast, and it slows down the whole proceedings of the board. So I reiterate that the rule that is incorporated into our bylaws is 15-minute total time, and each individual has 3 minutes. I also want to quote another proviso in our bylaws, which were passed unanimously here about 10 months ago. Citizen comments should be directed to the commissioners, be polite, civil, and without personal attack, and not concerning matters of litigation or employees. Commissioners may discuss items and may place them on a future agenda. Okay. Any comments from the audience? Yes, ma'am.
My name is Eileen Draff, and I would like to say that I respectfully disagree with your proposed plan to provide a heliport, a new heliport. Looking at the commissioners here, all five of you actually, the one person who seems to have the most experience is Warren Appleton. And at the last meeting, we heard his description of if anything were to change or add, it was not the heliport, it was something else. So I just would like to say that that's my disagreement.
Thank you, ma'am. Any other comments? Okay. So now we go into unfinished business. Committee reports, CCC, I think, Annalisa, you attended the last meeting then.
I did.
And thank you for submitting the minutes to the board.
Sure.
Some days ago.
We met on the 10th, and the new director that replaced Chris Phillips was there. Her name is Rachel Lucy. And let's see, there were a bunch of subgroups that did report. What you asked about earlier was the Kaiser information,
yes,
and we did discuss that at length. The newest information we had was from the director of the health department, and that he had just heard back from Kaiser, and they said they had reviewed their rulings and found no discrepancies in their ruling so far. So that's all we know at this time. There's a lot of concern about that at this time Kaiser doesn't seem to be budging. But that's as of May 10th, so I don't have any further information on that. Let's see. The CHIC report just talked a lot about, they have all these subgroups working on the online resources, immunizations, vulnerable populations, and the ACEs program. The PIMC help desk is set up and operational. There's concern that chickenpox is on Orcas again. And there was a lot of talk about the measles potential arriving here this summer with large crowds. Potential of measles being transmitted at the 4th of July parade.
Actually, it's on the 4:30 ferry. could be.
It totally could be. So Director Lucy talked a lot about funding and that, let's see my notes here. Funding and identifying current community needs and gaps. And so we talked a lot about respite housing, CNA training, potentially working with the home trust to provide small homes for care with a focus on seniors, And as we all know, the Inter-Island Healthcare Foundation is still looking for funding for a feasibility study that is currently in progress. Let's see, the PIMC Community Health Needs Assessment will be drafted by June 14th and voted on the 21st. It's due in November. So again, back to funding. She just asked that the group start to think broadly about funding and that there's an opportunity for a quarterly System Community Impact Fund Award, and that's due on the 23rd of September, and that, you know, to start thinking about needs we have that need funding in the community. So there's up to $300,000 available. So, you know, the goal being to keep people out of the hospital, so respite housing, recovery beds, elder care, respite housing for homeless, you know, working with the ACEs program community-wide, school-based care, and such things. So this, the director of community health will sort of shepherd that process on requests, and she's got her groups of executives and sponsors that are working together. So that's about all I have.
Thank you, Lisa. Is that a war of a grant, state grant, federal grant?
I believe it's a state grant.
State grant. Yes.
But I will try to find more.
Thank you. And thanks for the update on Kaiser Permanente Air Medical Transport.
Yeah, I wish I had more positive news there. And again, that's limited to several weeks ago. So.
Yeah. Okay. Anything? You want to say something,
Warren? Yeah, I'll just figure it out. No, because I can't access the information. What I'd like to know is what airlift, what all the vendors, where all the problem is. Is it all across the board, mm-hmm. or does Island Air?
Well, there's more denials with airlift.
Yeah, I understand that. But how many runs and et cetera, et cetera.
Mm-hmm. We didn't talk statistics specifically.
Yeah. So. Anyway.
Okay, well.
We'll work on that.
Yep. It's not going away, it sounds like.
It's not going
away. Any update on the helipad project?
We continue to gather information. We're waiting to hear back from interested parties. Okay. And well, Dr. Appleton, if you have anything germane to the subject, we're certainly interested in your perspective.
I'm sorry?
If you have anything germane to the subject of the helipad, we're certainly interested in your sharing.
It's not about the helipad. I don't know nothing about helipads. I know about patient transfers. I've written books on it. Mm-hmm. And I'm telling you, if you want to save, the cost-effective way to save money is to have the stretcher is in there, put the patient on the stretcher even before anything out of the air comes down.
Absolutely.
And then you get a much better transition, because where, as a malpractice attorney, where you look is at the transitions, and that's where the mistakes are frequently made.
Absolutely.
So the idea is, because when they land, they want to take off again. Mm-hmm. So they're pushing that, and anyway, I'll get it to you.
Sounds great.
Answer that question.
And integration steering committee, that's a line item, is it not? No, it's not, actually. Later on, you want to talk about that?
Sure. Pretty much what I did in my operations report is okay. The same as the committee.
Nothing to add beyond that?
Really nothing to add there.
Okay.
Well, I attended the steering committee meeting, and I had a couple concerns walking out of there. It seems very preliminary in everything you guys are doing, and the representative from the town wasn't there.
Correct.
So I do have a couple concerns that you guys are talking about this, that your next meeting potentially being with the attorney. And in looking at the EMS budget in terms of legal expenses right now, we're a little high. So I was just thinking, like, right now, there was a lot of discussion about how you guys are sharing documents with each other online. So you haven't even crossed that hurdle with the group of five yet. So, you know, to me, it seems important that you guys have a plan, and you know, that's what you're talking about with this the Gantt. Mm-hmm. So, you know, and I think the legal budget that we all, like, was it 11,000 or
and I, yeah, I can't remember like the specifics. I believe there's about $6,000 left in the CAG.
Okay.
The money that was apportioned to the CAG, and that was then left over and then reallocated to the steering committee. Mm-hmm. So we haven't tapped into any of that yet.
Okay. So it just seems like the GANT is the step to create the roadmap, and then you guys need to meet again to sort of figure out what that is and to think about it really comprehensively so we know what questions to ask the attorney. And I also am concerned about this idea of the group going off island to meet with the attorney when a lot of that could just be done over the phone. I think what that does is it leaves the public out, you know. So, and that is one thing that, you know, we need to be really transparent.
Absolutely.
With this process. So that's my feedback on that. You know, and I think ultimately the town wasn't there. And in my opinion, the town is the first actions that the town take really dictate all of the rest of the things that you guys are going to do. So it seems like there are some processes that need to be followed before we take these steps. The one thing that was brought up was how we convey information to the public, and that they have a PIO for fire and just... I wondered if you thought about that.
Right, and I'm happy to try to address some of those things.
Later in your report.
Or, no, I mean, because now is the time to do it, because yeah. I've got nothing extra.
Okay.
I reached out to Rich Davis just to kind of let him know what our plans were. Nothing's been scheduled yet.
Right.
Because, for exactly those reasons, we want our roadmap pretty well set out, knowing what our tasks are before we interface with him at all, mm-hmm. To see if there are things that gaps that we're not aware of. So the meeting with him is a ways away yet.
Okay.
So that's the one thing there. I understand your concern about traveling off island as well, allowing for, you know, the community to be present during that. Well, yeah, exactly. Yeah. And part of the conversation that we had there was, we were starting to feel like a two-hour block of time, we just kind of get up to speed and, you know, ready to start the work of it, where we felt we need a big chunk of time, you know, periodically a big chunk of time to slog through some of these things. Mm-hmm. So that was, I think we were trying to kill two birds with one stone and just kind of throwing things out there at that particular point in time. So, yeah, we're still very preliminary trying to figure out the document sharing parts. I think the fact that Chief Collins and I will sit down and kind of work on these task lists, bring that back, that's going to speak volumes to it. And we're also working, basically, I think we've realized that we want to work on two kind of simultaneous or parallel tracks. One, if the town decides not to become part of the fire district, and one, if they do.
Mm-hmm.
So it's not wasted time operationally. The better that EMS and fire work together, whether they're actually housed under one agency, it's still time well spent, making sure that we're, you know, talking with each other. So hopefully your concerns they're not concerns yet, and they're being addressed and realized. So
okay.
I hope that helps.
Yeah, I mean, I still think we're so preliminary. We need a public meeting still.
Oh, absolutely.
To build support and that.
Right, and that's part of what we want to do as well, is make sure that as Duncan comes back in with the idea of presenting this to the town, that we know exactly what we want to present and have the message clear, concise, easy to understand, and then bring that forward to the voters. Absolutely.
It's a lot of extra work for a person that's taking on a new full-time job.
So far, so good.
Okay, it's very good. Next item on the agenda is audiovisual update in terms of the RFPs and breakout for labor costs.
Okay, at the last meeting, we wanted to get another bid from audiovisual that was more in line with the same equipment, which was to make the microphones wired to compare with the bid that we got from Watkins Sound. So we did receive that bid, and we put it in your packet. And the bid came back considerably, you know, less than what the 4,000 was. Now it's, you know, down to 2, almost 3. So is that something the board would like to proceed with, to look at that bid, or
The bids are almost like frick and frack. And I think the wire system makes more sense, particularly in terms of mitigating any radio frequency interference, that we have a lot of that right here in the structure. So, and also, you know, performance. It's my understanding that, AVX has an automobile, a truck here on island. So I think looking forward in terms of maintenance, particularly hurry up maintenance, they would be a more preferable vendor since the price points are so close. The other thing is the AVX, when they did their assessment, did not charge us a fee for that. And Watkins Sound, I thought, what was it, $250, something like that?
Around there.
So if you add that to their bidding price of $25.63 versus AVX of 28, it's really a push. So that's number one. Number two, you know, we've been dealing with these proposals and alternatives for a long, long time, and we really need microphones. We really need microphones. So I would suggest that the board proffer a motion to support the AVX bid.
Which are the three?
The wire. AVX.
Which are the three AVX? Okay.
Yeah. The other one is stratospheric, Mark.
Yeah, I agree.
So this won't be hidden in the ceiling where we can't find it?
No, we will be able to see it.
We're going to have our red flag hanging out.
I say that because we've had this discussion. Absolutely. The point being, though, that when we do this, I would like a team of us to be observers.
Yes, absolutely.
So that more than one person knows how to operate it and the simple fixes and
the schematic of the wiring that would all
exactly,
be
exactly. Exactly.
And we can also take a portion, most of it, with us.
Yeah. But not only just have a class after it's put in, but actually be here as it happens.
Yeah.
So we can transfer the equipment to the PhD office if we mm-hmm. need to have a meeting there.
Mm-hmm. Correct.
Or outside when the weather gets really
yeah,
nice.
Yeah.
I don't think the system is waterproof, though.
This isn't a mobile system, per se.
I wouldn't be doing anything.
He's kidding.
And I know you was, but to your comment about taking it to the PhD offices, it's not a mobile system in that you can go back and forth. It is a system that you could take it out and then move it, but that would be
right.
An involved process.
Right. I'm just saying, like, potentially if we're not here, then
correct.
We would move it with us.
But it is an investment in the building, which we own, mm-hmm. which would increase the value of the building.
Use of the building, you might not need a microphone system. If that's the case, it could be transplanted. Mm-hmm. That's very doable. Mm-hmm.
So are you looking for a second, Ken?
Well, that was kind of a half-baked motion, but I you know, I'll make it.
I'll make a half-baked second.
Thank you. Any discussion?
I'd like to pin down the labor costs. $95 an hour. We don't. I'd like to really get an all-in price on what we're assessing.
Well, actually, we.
They did. Yeah, give us a 4 hour. Probably
I asked
max.
This question last week. Nathan actually had some numbers on this.
It was about 10 hours total of labor at $95 an hour. So labor is not cheap.
It is. But again, it's in a relative sense. If you compare it to a video recording, let alone live stream, this is small amount. And I think we were most voting for audio and discussion, hearing from the audience and communicating. So I still proffer the motion. And do you still have a second? Inclusive of labor costs. Warren?
Yes, a second.
Very good. Any further discussion? All in favor say aye. Aye.
Aye.
Aye.
I'm going to say no.
Nay, no. Okay. Passes 3-1.
Apologies.
Very good. And thanks for all your hard work. Nathan and Pam, I know it's been, you've been running in circles, but at least this is the first step.